Welcome to Future Fables by Aesop, in partnership with Literary Hub. Over 2,500 years ago, the ancient storyteller Aesop spun yarns with moral teachings that still weave into the modern day. But what sort of tales might he write in 2022? It is this question which these fables explore as award-winning writers reinterpret the form for contemporary times. Populated with a cast of fantastical creatures, these short yet stirring stories are catalysts for conversation, contemplation, and quietude. We suggest enjoying them with a cup of warming tea, or perhaps something a little stronger. Today's tale is The Rat and the Hamster by Amelia Abraham, an author, copywriter, and brand consultant who explores feminist issues and queer representation. Let's begin. A rat and a hamster walked into a bar. They ordered a drink. "This is not a joke," the rat said to the hamster. "I know, I'm listening," urged the hamster, although the rat thought she could detect an eye roll. "I don't feel like you take my pain seriously," the rat went on. She was down on her luck. She couldn't pinpoint what it was exactly that caused her low mood today. Maybe it was her cycle, but it felt like everyone was against her, like she could do nothing right. "Have you talked to someone other than me, a professional?" said the hamster. "You know I can't afford that," said the rat. The hamster was always trying to send everyone to therapy. The rat wondered if she was on commission. "Well, it's a bad time of year," sighed the hamster, staring into the middle distance. It was indeed a bad time of year. Rain was beating on the windows of the bar. Out in the streets, the sewers were overflowing. Soon, the ice would come, and then food would be scarce. The hamster had none of these problems to worry about, the rat knew. But still, the hamster complained. Her owners were about to go on vacation. She was concerned that she'd be lonely. The rat scoffed and ordered another drink. They sat in silence until it arrived.
"How's the house hunt?" said the hamster.
"I can't catch a break," said the rat. "Last month I had 5 rat babies sucking my teats dry. God love them. And now I'm back to work and there's nothing out there." She sipped her Merlot, the kind that arrives with a thin layer of dust on top. The rat believed in a meritocracy. She did. But she was starting to wonder if there was something about her, inherent to her, that was hampering her search for a new place. Still, she didn't want to go into all of that, not with the hamster.
"I have an idea," said the hamster.
"Go on," said the rat, reluctantly.
"Why don't you come and stay with me?" the hamster clarified. "Just while Tim and Chris are away."
The rat looked into the hamster's face, searching for a catch. The rat could feel her despair evaporating, but she was also the distrustful type. Had the hamster had one too many again? Was she just feeling giddy because it was the holidays and regret her generosity tomorrow? Was this the hamster's saviour complex at work again? Did it matter?
Are you sure?" said the rat.
"It's just a long weekend," said the hamster. "Take it or leave it," she shrugged. That night, in her wheel, the hamster's head spun. She began to worry about having the rats come to stay. What if they ate the place empty? What if they started breeding? Worse yet, what if they brought some kind of awful pestilence with them? The hamster was concerned that she had made a terrible mistake. On Thursday, after Tim and Chris had left for their cruise, the hamster waited for the rat's arrival, napping intermittently. The rat, meanwhile, had been too nervous to sleep. She had always idealized the hamster's lifestyle from afar, even if she hadn't actually seen it up close and personal. Given that she'd never been to Tim and Chris's house before, given that, until now, she'd never been invited. Compare and despair, the rat's mother had always told her when she stroked her back before bedtime. Her mother, who raised 10 offspring and lost her life protecting them. Yet the rat couldn't help but compare. In a way, she found the comparison helpful. It's what drove her to always be looking for a nicer place, more food, a warmer and damper lifestyle. The hamster was her frenemy, yes, but what was so wrong with a frenemy if it meant a little healthy competition?
The rat knocked at the hamster's back door. She waited there, on the doorstep, hushing the kids. They bickered and gnawed, falling over one another. The rat turned to them. "Shh, will you?" she hissed. And what did I say about cats? Still, there was no answer at the door. Puzzled, the rat ushered her family to a side door, and they let themselves in. "Wait here and don't eat anything," the rat told her kids, leaving them in the kitchen. She searched downstairs quickly and methodically, but the hamster was nowhere to be seen. So she climbed the stairs, dragging her body up step by step. In the hallway, she could hear a noise and prayed it wasn't the kids downstairs breaking things, embarrassing her. She realized, though, that it was emitting from a locked door down the hall. She padded towards it, cautiously. There was no smell of cat inside the house, but she'd been burned before. When the rat reached the door at the end of the hall, she pushed it open, and with a creak, it swung backwards. Across the expanse of linoleum flooring, a pink cage sat solemnly beside the bathtub. The hamster stared out from inside of it, as though frozen. The hamster started to speak but faltered. She looked out regretfully from between the bars of the tiny cage, the small mound of food already rotting next to her in the corner. I tried to tell you not to come, but... But what? Said the rat gently. But I couldn't get out, said the hamster, in what was more like a whisper now. The hamster and rat held eyes with one another then, locked in time, contemplating the other's existence. Until suddenly, a large crash came from downstairs, as though something had fallen or broken. I should go, said the rat, in a voice full of kindness and devoid of self-pity now. She turned on her heel, gathered her children, and led them off into the night. No wonder the hamster needs a therapist, she thought. The moral of the story, dear listener, is that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Or, as the rat's mother said, compare and despair. Future Fables is brought to you by Aesop in partnership with Literary Hub. The theme music was composed by Dean Blunt, and episodes were mixed, designed, and mastered by Hannah Webster at UNIT. Today's fable was read by me, Gabriel Santos, from Aesop.